Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the programme, Nadim Anua will be here to address Arsenal's many, many, many problems. But we start things off by welcoming Ali Moreno and Shaka Hislop to the show. Plus, look at that, Frank Leboeuf and Julien Laurent. Exactly the right people to have on with the breaking news that apparently Kylian Mbappe has an official offer from Real Madrid. This was Marca's story earlier in the day. PSG have opened the door for Mbappe. Literally, just before we went on air, reports, Jules, saying that Real Madrid have had, what, a 150 million euro bid rejected?
That's right, yeah. Our sources confirming as well that 160 rejected by PSG because they haven't really opened the door yet. I think the offer from Real Madrid was kind of expected, really. They've always said they don't want to sell him this summer. And they're staying on that, so on that direction. They said no to that offer. They don't know if Real Madrid will come back with a bigger, better offer. And Kylian Mbappe knows now that they've rejected that offer. He's still relaxed. I think he would be happy to stay, would be happy to go if the two clubs agree some sort of fee between now and Tuesday when the transfer window closes. But for now, certainly PSG have said no to Real Madrid.
So, Kylian Mbappe for the moment is at PSG. But Jules, there's another element to all of this. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Ooh.
Suggestions are that Kylian Mbappe would be allowed to leave if PSG could get Ronaldo from Juventus. Any truth in this?
So PSG are still saying that Cristiano is not an option for this summer. That's not what they're going to do. Even if Mbappe goes and they get all that money, whether it's 180 now or 200 million or whatever Real Madrid will be ready to pay, that Cristiano is not what they will do with that money. And there were reports in France today that Jorge Mendes is trying to get something with Manchester City in case they don't do Harry Kane for Cristiano to go there. But of course, if Mbappe leaves, you can just imagine Jorge Mendes will be on the phone straight away to Nasser Al Khelaifi and Leonardo to try to bring Cristiano to Paris. I'm not sure this would be a good idea either. I'm not sure even Cristiano and Messi want to play with
each other. What do you mean it'd be a brilliant
idea,
Jules? It'd be fantastic. Imagine it.
I'm not sure.
Come on.
I'm not sure it is. I'm not sure it is.
It would be a lot of fun. So, just explain Kylian Mbappe's mindset, Jules. You say he's happy to stay, happy to go, but surely this kind of offer and seeing all the attention that Messi and Neymar have got, reports are that his five-year deal still puts him as the third best paid at PSG, but behind Neymar and Messi. Is that inclination to leave going to increase between now and Tuesday?
I don't think so. So what we're being told is that he's not going to extend his contract. Now they don't have for sure. He's happy to stay for the last year of his current contract with PSG and play with Neymar and Messi and have that front three for one season. But then he will go to Real Madrid on a free in 12 months' time. This is very much a possibility right now. Maybe the most highly possibility of all the scenarios that we're going to talk about right now. This is one thing, and this is currently the best thing because he's still at the club. If the two clubs find an agreement, then he will go to Real Madrid a year earlier.
Right.
It would cost Real Madrid far more money, obviously, to bring him now than to wait another 12 months and get him on a free transfer. But certainly, he would also be happy to do that. But certainly, he will not extend his contract. So, really, now that Real Madrid have made the first offer, it's been rejected. If they come back with another offer and the ball is in their court now, like in a tennis match, it's all down to PSG. If there's another offer, either you leave him on a free for nothing in 12 months' time, or you take the cash now and you cash in on him, whether that's 180, 200 million or whatever Real Madrid will be offering next if they do another offer.
What would you do, Frank, if you were PSG?
I would wait. I will wait. I will gamble. The thing that the fact is, it's behind PSG is Qatar. Qatar is one of the richest, if it's not the richest country in the world. They don't need money. They don't care about that. What they want is to make sure that their toy, PSG, is going to get the Champions League. So who's one of the best players at front to get it if on top of it you have Neymar and Messi? It's right now Mbappe. If it goes next year and you win the Champions League next summer, he can go. And you can get Ronaldo next summer just for merchandising purpose, and it's going to be fun. But at the end of the day, you know, you wait. Why did I say gamble? Because what's going to happen with Real Madrid this season? We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. So maybe Mbappe stays. It works for the best for Paris Saint-Germain. Real Madrid doesn't work very well, doesn't do anything special this season, and Mbappe suddenly doesn't want to go to Real Madrid because he's not going to be as successful as it would be if he stays at Paris Saint-Germain. So I take the risks. I would say, okay, you go for free next season. We'll see. We're going to discuss next season. But from now on, you stay, you play, you make us win because you're happy to stay with Neymar and Messi.
How's Mbappe's head? Part of it must be turned a little bit in the sense that you find yourself now down the pecking order, the attention that you are getting. Uh-huh. You go to Real Madrid, you're the poster boy, not only for the club, but for the whole league.
Mm-hmm. And for a decade as well.
Yep.
From here on out. Short future, long distance future as well. And yet all of those things, if I'm Kylian Mbappe and I'm anybody in his circle of trust, I say to Kylian Mbappe, you have an incredible opportunity to be part of something historic. And that is playing in this front three. Allow yourself to be part of this. And then whatever happens next year, then we tackle then whenever that comes around. But this is unique. This is once in a lifetime sort of thing that Kylian Mbappe has an opportunity to do. So don't focus on the fact that you're third in the pecking order. Don't even think about the pecking order, because there is no pecking order when you're talking about Lionel Messi. See, Messi is above everybody else, and he was going to be above everybody else anywhere in the world, including PSG. So don't pay attention to that nonsense. Pay attention to the fact that you're going to be part of this, that this is something special, this is something unique, this is something that doesn't happen to everybody around the world, and you have the chance to be part of this front three. Sell Kylian Mbappe on this, and then next year comes around, you make the decision that you need to make.
But if you're Kylian Mbappe, surely it's the same situation next year as well. Messi's still going to be, Neymar's still going to be there.
True.
So then why are you signing a new contract if this is the great opportunity?
Well, no, if you're Kylian Mbappe, you're not signing a new contract.
Nope.
You're seeing that out. And the truth is, look at the two options that Kylian Mbappe has in front of him right now. Play alongside Neymar and Messi with PSG and go on a free transfer in 12 months' time to the club that you've said all along you want to join, or join that said club right now. I can't think of another time any other footballer has had two better options to weigh up against the other. So it's you just sit back, let the clubs figure themselves out, decide what they want to do, and you go with whatever they decide, because the truth is, it's a no-lose situation for Kylian Mbappe.
But you have to have a position if you're the player. I know you're talking about the clubs agreeing on something, but if you're the player, you can push this one way or the other.
I'm not sure that he has to. I don't think he has to,
but he has to participate in the decision. He can't just sit back and say, hey, guys, you do whatever you want, and then I'll just go wherever the wind blows. That's not quite the position that Kylian Mbappe is in. I think he should have more power in this than just allowing the clubs to decide for him.
Is there not a situation in which Kylian Mbappe might have a poor season, that he doesn't click with those two, that his leg falls off halfway through the campaign? Mm. Is that not a risk as well? Because Real Madrid will go, well, I tell you what, we got this money in the bank. You've gone rubbish. That big Norwegian guy's pretty good. We should get him in instead.
But if that's the mindset for Kylian Mbappe or any player at this sort of elite level, then why are they playing at all? Look. You love to play the game. You love to be out there. You love to compete. You love to be in the big stage, whether that's Real Madrid or PSG. You cannot go on the field thinking, guess what? I'm afraid of getting injured. Mm. If that's what you're thinking about, then the whole decision is already made. Everything is already gone for Kylian Mbappe. You cannot have that in the back of your mind and thinking to yourself, well, I'm going to go in there on this field trying to take care of myself and trying to be careful. That's how you get injured, actually.
Right.
You go, you play the game, and if you get injured, this is part of the reality of being a professional soccer player.
Totally agree. That will be Kylian Mbappe's mindset. That's not a concern. Every time you step on the field, you know that's a possibility, but no player ever... That doesn't ride on any player's minds. Also, from Real Madrid's perspective, this is not, in my opinion, this is not about Kylian Mbappe or Erling Haaland, that if things don't work out with Mbappe right now or next summer, that you go and get Erling Haaland. You look at Real Madrid right now, at that club right now, and if the opening game of the season is anything to go by, there's a lot of work to do there. There will be a lot of clubs in for Erling Haaland in 12 months' time at the price that he has to go for because of that release clause. How strong a position is it for Real Madrid to say we are bringing in the likes of Kylian Mbappe, we are building for the future, the best young players in world football in shaping this club to dominate for the next decade in much the same way that they brought in Kaká and Ronaldo in the same summer? This is what we're doing again. Erling, how much would you like to be a part of this? I think that's a great selling point, a great position for Real Madrid to be in.
Jules, what the fans make of this lack of commitment from Mbappe for the future to their club?
Well, we saw again Strasbourg in the game that Frank was at the Parc des Princes that they booed his name first of all, and then they obviously cheered when he scored or when he took part in the first two goals. But certainly, I think there's a bit of an issue with the fact that he hasn't extended the contract. I think the fear from the fans would be that he leaves on a free and that nothing comes back to the club, which is the club that, you know, is his hometown. This is a club that has given him a lot, although they paid a lot of money for him at Monaco in 2017. But still, I think it's this idea that he could leave for nothing and go to Real Madrid that would maybe not go down well at all with the fans. If he wants to go now and the two clubs have an agreement for 200 million euros, which is 50 million more than you've bought him for, although you would have to pay a bonus to Monaco if you do sell him this summer, by the way, 30 million euros. But still, you make profit on an incredible player who's given you four great years, although they wouldn't have won the Champions League with him. But still, I think that would go more easily than if he was going to leave next year for nothing at all after 5 years of even still great years. I think that's why the boos came from for that more, the fear right. of losing him for nothing after everything the club has given him.
Frank, how's it going to play out, do you think?
I don't know. I think he's going to stay. I mean, yeah. I was thinking of everything you said before, and you say what will be the thing to make it change and to make him live. You know, Jules just explained that the profit of Kylian Mbappe for Paris Saint-Germain would be something around 35 million euros, which is nothing for Paris Saint-Germain, because they didn't win the Champions League with Kylian Mbappe, and to let him go for a 35 million profit overall, because they bought him like 100 million, they would have to give some money to Monaco. So it's almost nothing. And for Kylian Mbappe, he's already, well, his bank account is already full of money, so it's not like he's taking a risk, even if he gets injured, to go to Real Madrid and to not go to Real Madrid right now to get injured and to lose all that money. You know, it would have been a question mark for myself or maybe for Shaka and Ali, you know, during our career, because we didn't earn the money that he earned already. But for him, it's nothing. Well, it doesn't change his life. He's going to be a billionaire soon, and it's not going to be a problem. He has to think about football. And what is and Ali just mentioned it before, what he can go through this season can be historic. And I will take the bet. So it's why I don't see him leaving. Right. I don't see Paris Saint-Germain pushing him to get out, because there is no reason why. The immediate future is at Paris Saint-Germain. Next year is next year. We'll see.
The last time at Real Madrid spent over 100 million on a player in the last year of the contract, it went very, very wrong. Eden Hazard has done absolutely nothing, less than nothing, since joining Real Madrid from Chelsea. Yesterday, we were talking to Stevie about whether or not Vinicius Jr. should start ahead of Eden Hazard, of course, making such an impact off the bench, 3 goals in 2 games. Steve said, no, you've got to keep playing Hazard. You've got to let him try and play himself back into form. I wonder where you stand on that.
When you watch Vinicius Jr. play the first couple of games this season, he's doing the sort of things that you were expecting in Hazard to do when he came to Real Madrid. The reason that he came to Real Madrid from Chelsea is because he was doing those sort of things, breaking people down in 1v1 situations, scoring nice goals, assisting in goals, combining, impacting the play in the attacking half. That's not happening right now for Eden Hazard. So if you just remove the uniforms, if you just remove the names in the back, and you just put two players out on the field and you say, which one should play when you see him out there? Well, there's no question it should be Vinicius.
Right.
So this is just about massaging the situation if you're Ancelotti. You're trying and hoping that you get the semblance of what you hope you are getting from Eden Hazard. So you put him out there, and now he's playing 60 minutes, and he's not getting injured. So let's build on that. Let's see if we let's see if we can just kind of nurse this guy into top-level fitness, and maybe he can be the player that we want him to be. I don't think you can sacrifice the success of the team for nursing a player.
Right.
If Vinicius Jr. continues to play the way that he's playing, he is demanding a place on the field. Whether that's Eden Hazard that gets sacrificed or Gareth Bale that is sacrificed, somebody's got to go and this kid's got to play simply because of the productivity that you see out on the field.
Frank?
Yeah, I'm very fond of Vinicius and I was very fond of what Hazard was doing. But it's funny that lately, we and the two debates we just had, we don't talk about Mbappe coming to Real Madrid, and we talk about if either Hazard or Vinicius should play. Well, the last game I saw on Sunday night when Real Madrid played, I think the main concern that I have for Real Madrid is definitely not offensively.
Yeah.
I think we should have a debate of who they can recruit to make sure they won't concede stupid goals, you know, like we saw last Sunday. I mean, and I see them, you know, willing to put 160 million for Mbappe, where I'm sure they could spend 30 or 40 for a great defender because they definitely need one. It's obviously the biggest concern for Real Madrid.
What about that French bloke who's at Manchester United?
Yeah.
He looks all right, doesn't he? That centre defender.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, maybe you could have you could have kept hold of him. While La Liga, of course, continues this weekend. Our brand new 8-year deal with the league. It all starts on Friday, and it will be Mallorca against Espanyol, Valencia against Alaves. For Saturday, Real Madrid then in action. Be interesting to see the starting 11 away against Real Betis. And then on Sunday, Barça-Getafe, then an interesting game in the Spanish capital, Atletico Madrid, taking on Villarreal. All of these games live on ESPN+.
La Liga. Stream every match on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Reports in England suggesting that Mikel Arteta has 5 Premier League games remaining to prove his worth as coach of Arsenal. Jules is still with us as you welcome Nadim Anua to the show as well. Nadim, is Arteta out of his depth?
It certainly looks that way at the moment, but it's a tough situation to be in. I think there are players who are missing through illness, through injury, so you're probably not seeing the best version of Arsenal. But I think the bigger problem is the fact that when you look at where Arsenal are in relation to the teams who are potentially going for the league this year, they seem like they're light years away from that. And the problems and the questions will obviously be levelled at the manager because, you know, these are key players for Arsenal, but even if they were all playing, I think Chelsea, for example, would still have gone into that game as heavy favourites. Mm. So questions are rightly being asked. And, you know, a club like Arsenal, with the expectation that they have and the history that they have, I think being this far off the pace in terms of a title race and a top four finish ultimately isn't going to be acceptable. So I understand why he's under pressure, but I just don't necessarily understand the specifics of 5 games.
Jules, recruitment surely is a massive issue as well. We take a look at even those players that are missing. Not many of them would walk into, say, a top four side in the Premier League. So is it a case of Arteta can't really do much with what he's got, or he should be proving himself more?
I think it's a bit of both. I really wonder if Antonio Conte walks into this dressing room and Arteta is sacked. I don't think Antonio Conte can bring this team into a top four because I agree with Nathan, and that's what I've said all week, is that there's a world apart between Arsenal and the top four, the team that will finish in top four, which are City, United, Chelsea and Liverpool. They can't compete. This is not their league. Their league right now is between 5th and 20th. This is the team that they should be able to beat. That's who they challenge with, who they compete with. It's not the 1-4, because them are far too good, far too strong, far better organised, better structured, everything you want. So if you think it that way, I think he deserves a bit more time to put that project through. This is a transition time, and you don't need, you can't change managers every 2 minutes during through a transition when you're trying to rebuild something positive at the club. The thing is, you also need to see improvement. And I still think that Arsenal played better under him straight after he arrived, between, let's say, January and April or May, you know, without counting the pandemic. But when they won the FA Cup, tactically, I saw more then with innovations, movement. There was some good stuff, positive stuff that he was trying to put together tactically, more than the, what I'm seeing now. But again, Nedim is right. There's a lot of players missing. There's young players coming through, new signings. This would take time to gel. Whoever is the manager, you need a bit of time to get them all together, play the way you want them to play.
Jules, why was it easier to pull the trigger so quickly on Unai Emery, a much more experienced coach, a much more successful coach? Why do they continue to hang their hat on Mikel Arteta, who, let's not forget, has done nothing managerial in his life before this?
It's a good point. I think the key word again is transition, is rebuilding. You were not really in a transition with Unai Emery. You were in the continuation of what Arsene Wenger had been doing, and yet it's a change because it's so different, and it was never going to be the same. However, this is what he was there to do: take the same squad pretty much and strengthen it and reinforce it. A squad that finished in a top four for what, 20 years, apart from the last two of Arsene Wenger, but it was much more continuation than transition. Now you are properly into a transition where it's not just your starting 11 that you need to rebuild, it's the whole squad, it's the 25-man squad. Whether you rely more on your academy, and we've seen really good talent coming through Haaland, and there will be more, there are more there. Whether it's letting go of those older players, it's getting rid of the one that you don't want, you don't think they're good enough, or certainly you don't think they've got the right mindset for your club, and start again by spending money wisely. And we will see, we will know in a few weeks, few months time, if the money they spend, and it's a lot of money this summer, if they spend that right on the right players, or if they got it wrong again. But this is a very different time and context than the Unai Emery year, which again was continuation, whereas now it's very much transition.
If it is transition, and Jules is making some good points there, Nathan, do you really want Arteta to be at the head of it?
Well, as Jules has been alluding to there, even if Conte came in and had this squad, I still wouldn't fancy them to be in a top four situation, even though he's coming with the credential of being a league-winning manager in Serie A. I think, you know, the transition is there, and maybe Arteta is the right person for this moment, because to piggyback on something that was just said, you know, why is Arteta being given so much time? I think Arteta has a different history with the football club, because I think it's very quickly to forget the fact that he played for the team. You know, he was there for 5 games, he's played over 100 league games for them, so the disdain that maybe they have for him is different, because, as I say, in some ways, he's felt what it's like to be at Arsenal. He's felt what it was like to maybe go through a transition with the club, and understands the club more so from the inside out. So, you know, it's a tough situation to be in for a club that historically has been so good. You know, we think of all the good times that Arsenal have had, but they are a million miles away from it. But these top managers that we speak of, they could come into this situation and not make things infinitely better. I think the transition is definitely there for all to see, and I suppose it's just a case of accepting that. But, you know, when you've had the success that Arsenal have had, you're not really too interested in doing so, are you?
Isn't that... I don't get that, Nathan. I don't get the fact that he played for Arsenal, therefore knows what it's like to kiss the badge, to wear the Arsenal shirt. That's going to make a big difference going forward. Frank Lampard bled Chelsea. He goes, Chelsea go and win the Premier, go and win the Champions League, and now battling City for the Premier League.
Okay, so I like what you did there, but the fact is Chelsea and Arsenal are two completely different sides.
No, I understand that, but I just don't get why Arteta playing for Arsenal makes any difference after 60 games.
Because historically for Chelsea, they've been known to sack managers very often to gain success. Arsenal historically haven't necessarily done that. So it's not a direct comparison as such, but I do understand what you're trying to say, and that, you know, that could be the thing. But like as I say, in terms of Arteta, this situation is very much here. And for some fans, you know, some fans probably dislike him, but Unai Emery didn't have a link at all to the football club. And if he comes in and things aren't going well, and this is supposed to be a replacement to Wenger, like, no, you're going to have less time with it. But there were some fans who probably do remember Arteta playing for the club. Arteta can talk about the club in a way whereby maybe he does love the club, whereas somebody else probably didn't. But the fact is, whether they give him more time or not, he's reaching the end of that spot where results are ultimately going to be what it's going to be judged by. And he's had his chance and he's had his time, but then you could argue in some ways, similar to Solskjaer at Man United, and now they seem to be coming out of that point and they're heading into this season as one of the favourites for the Premier League.
What's the ultimatum here for Arteta? We talked about those games coming up, Jules. Is it a case of you've got to win at least two or you're out?
I'm not really sure, to be fair, there's that ultimatum, the five games. I don't believe so. It just doesn't add up in the sense that they clearly put a lot of faith in those young players that they came through, that they just bought in the summer. And with Arteta there, this is a project, it's a transition, as we've been saying. He needs time. Anyone, again, needs time. So we will see. The thing is, you go to City on Saturday, you're going to lose. Then after that, it's an international break. Some players will go away. But I guess the good thing, in a way, is that you don't have too many international players anymore in your team, so a lot of them will stay at London Colney, and then you can work a lot when other teams like Thomas Tuchel will have three guys plus a lot of kids are training for 10 days. You will have quite a few more than other clubs, and then you play Norwich and then you go to Burnley. This is the games, to go back to what we were saying before, the top four, you probably will not win a single game this season against them. However, the others, that's where you have to be very good, like West Ham well last season, for example. Yeah. And then you have to beat Norwich at home, you have to go to Burnley and win. Then you've got the North London derby against Spurs at the Emirates, where again you have to show against Nuno's team that you can do a job, and I believe they can against that kind of team still. So, and this is where then you can judge, maybe in the next international break in October, how has he done once the in between the two international break, and then you would have a better idea, because by then senior players will be back, you'll have a bit more stability hopefully in your starting 11, you don't have to change and tweak all the time, and then we'll have a better idea against teams that you would expect them to be. You don't expect them to be Chelsea, they're too good, especially with Lukaku, but against Norwich, Burnley, Spurs, and then the other after, I think it's Aston Villa, maybe the one after that, that's where you expect it to win.
Jules, optimistic. Nadim, are you in that same camp?
Yeah, I think you have to be. When they've played two games and not scored a goal, you have to think the only way is up. But I think once their starters come back out and you start to see the sort of identity of what Arteta wants from his team this season, then I think there could be potential reasons to be positive there. This isn't their best version, but they're being tested from the get-go. I think at first game of the season, away to a team that's newly promoted, that's very confident, is tricky. I think playing a Chelsea side who've come off the back of winning the Champions League, a Super Cup, and have just signed a player for £95 million, again, is tricky. But, you know, Arsenal, they'll believe in themselves. I think all the players that play for the club, they understand the pressures involved in trying to find success for Arsenal. And, you know, for me, I think they will get better. Whether or not that would be good enough, and whether or not the sort of harsh reality of football is one whereby people are willing to accept that they may be now in a competition with the likes of West Ham to see if you can finish fifth and whatever is the case, then I don't know. But I think they will get better. But whether or not that's going to be enough for him to keep his job, I'm not sure. Because come five games time, they might have played well, but there's no guarantee they've got 15 points.
Can't believe it's an international break already. Jules bringing that up. Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast is available to listen to over on the website. Be sure to go and check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. A special night for Mikel Antonio, of course, in that victory for West Ham against Leicester on Monday. This goal would break the record held by Paulo Di Canio, and he celebrated in some style. There was a cardboard cutout of himself, and what did he do? Not only did he hold it aloft, but then, he kissed it as well.
Yes.
So the producers asked me to do a power rankings of the five people that are on today's show. Who's the most likely to kiss a picture of themselves in celebration?
Okay.
Nadim at five. Too cool for school. I can't see Nadim getting involved in those sort of shenanigans.
Okay.
Just above him. It was close, actually. Shaka Hislop. I can't imagine you doing this either, Shaka.
No. Nor scoring for that matter.
And then it gets interesting. At number three.
What? What?
I put Jules.
What?
It was close between Jules. Number two.
Come on, you know better.
Go on, number two. Where is it?
Honestly,
I think everyone agree if there was one person on this panel who would most likely kiss a picture of themselves in scoring, it has to be Mr. Frank.
I would go so far as to say I'm sure Frank has kissed a picture of himself.
I think he does it when he wakes up.
He probably kissed a picture of himself before this segment.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. I think so. Frank, do you concur with my power rankings? You deserve a place at number one.
Yes, definitely. And I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of it. I would have done the same.
I love it.
You know, I guess, I'm sure, I could have done worse. I would have kneeled in front of my picture.
Right.
And bowed into myself.
Like a godlike.
this is a whole new level of celebration.
Nadim, are you comfortable at number five? I feel that's kind of where you're at.
I'm very, very comfortable at number five. Thank you. And to be honest, I didn't know how extensive those rankings were going to be because we probably know one or two other people that might even finish above Frank for that.
Where are you going? Where are you going with this?
I don't think he appears on ESPN FC anymore, but maybe he's associated with ESPN. Maybe he would put himself at 1A, but I don't know. Maybe you know who I'm talking about.
I don't know who you're talking about. Who doesn't work here anymore that would kiss themselves?
I don't know. And I'm not about to guess.
And not just kiss themselves more willingly than Frank kisses himself.
Better than Frank.
Ali, are you happy at number two?
No, I am not. Joel should be number two. Come on.
I've seen a celebration from you making it rain.
That's because my son requested it prior to the game. He said, Papi, I want you to make it rain tonight.
Yeah.
And so I did.
I think it would.
Jules would kiss a picture of himself before I did.
I think you got it right.
I think so. Just a reminder, more of this nonsense available over on Extra Time. Got a very special announcement to make as well. Be sure to check it out over on YouTube.
Hello.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. I am smiling because I know what is in Extra Time. It is one for the ages.
Woo!
If you're eating, do not watch it. Promise me.
Extra be inspired, time. Though. You're going to be inspired.
Welcome in to the latest edition of Extra Time on a very special day. Ali and Shaka here in the studio. We also welcome Nader Manua and Frank LaBeouf to the show. And why is it so special? Well, we've got a bit of an announcement to make.
Oh.
If you're struggling to sleep, or maybe you've got a table with a wobbly leg, or you want some Kindle for the fire this winter, Frank LaBeouf has a new book.
Look at it.
Just translate it for us, Frank. What is it? What's it about? What's it mean?
The title is Believing in Yourself. You know what? We talked about the celebration of Antonio. I think some people, and you are the best example, think that it's an ego issue that I have. That I think I'm so, it was so unexpected that what I achieved in my life that I'm very happy. And for myself, because I didn't think that I was able to do, I would be able to do what I'd achieve in my life. It's why that some people would say it's an ego problem. I'm just very happy and proud of myself because I never thought I would have that possibility to do what I did in my life.
So the book is basically you showing off for 200 pages.
No. The book is about, you know, helping people who don't have the gut to go for it and to change their life, because most people, they have a job that they don't like, but they keep on going because they don't want to take the risk of changing everything. And I say, well, you know, if you're not happy, why don't you follow my path and try to follow my advices and maybe for a better life. So I just want to help people out to have a better life. That's my only duty.
It's heartfelt. It's heartfelt. Huh? Your cynicism, I cannot. I'm willing to be inspired by Frank.
Nader, you ever thought about writing a book about how great you are?
Not yet. But I've got. You need to amend the power rankings, though, Dan. You'll never believe what I found.
What have you found?
Does anybody have a picture of himself like that just sitting around?
The first thing I said, look what I found. That I sleep with every night. Where do we go from there?
What a kiss that was.
Goodness,
let's just wrap this up right now.
Wow. That was inspirational.
Oh, man. They might have to cut that. That's our rated.
No, the kiss was too much. That was not a pick.
Okay, where do we go from all of this?
I don't know.
There you are.
Man.
Ali. Yes. Even in the absence of Messi, Griezmann is unable to step up his game and perform when it matters the most. Is it something which is related to his confidence, or has it got anything to do with Koeman's tactics, or has he just been an overrated player throughout his career?
I don't think he's been overrated throughout the course of his career. I do think that Antoine Griezmann is a tremendous talent and a high-caliber player, in fact, an elite player. I don't know why Antoine Griezmann spends so much time defending. You see him running back and slide tackles, and it's like 30 yards away from his own goal. And while I can understand that that's valuable to the team, you know what? You talk to Frank. He's got more inspirational words than I do. Hey, this is what I would tell Antoine Griezmann. Hey, believe in yourself.
You need
Antoine.
To get Frank's book.
Exactly.
Antoine, believe in yourself.
Oh, goodness.
I have some discount, guys. If you want to, you can order to me directly. I have some good discount. Who cares about Griezmann?
Believe in yourself, Antoine.
It's more interesting.
It's all gone wrong.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Oh, my crikey.
I cannot keep on going. You watch Frank in that book, and he's just those eyes. Piercing eyes, they're telling you to believe in yourself.
It's a bit pale, isn't he, in that book?
Yes. Maybe the balance of colors is not quite right on that front page.
Cheap production.
Yeah. We could add a little bit more.
They pay too much.
There.
They pay too much in advance. Yeah. No, they pay too much in advance. So they couldn't do anything.
Oh, crikey.
Oh, goodness me.
Frank and Nadum, as central defenders, did you find it harder to defend very physical strikers similar to Lukaku and Antonio, or fast strikers similar to Mbappe?
He's looking at you. He is looking at you.
Nadum.
I think speed kills, you know, so the faster the player is, the more sort of threat they'd probably be overall, because some of the physical ones, they can only really catch you out like that if you choose to try and like wrestle them and be strong with them. But with the fast ones, you're just hoping there's not going to be a really good ball over the top, or they're not going to try and kick it past you and so on, or there's a race to try and stop a goal, because, you know, they have that advantage, so you have to play smarter. But yeah, I think ultimately it's the faster players that are more dangerous than the physical ones, because the speed ones can get you into opportunities where maybe other people wouldn't be able to find them.
Who's the fastest player you've been up against, Nadum?
At his peak in terms of running with the ball, probably like a Gareth Bale or someone like that.
Yeah.
That run he had, that sort of stretch he had when he was at Spurs, and then shortly after when he went to Real Madrid, like, he was special then because he was really aggressive with it. In fact, no, I'll take that back. Thierry Henry, I played against Thierry Henry at Highbury, and he was just kicking it past people and just treating them like children. So, yeah, I'd say Thierry Henry.
Frank, physical or fast?
Fast. I mean, it's unbearable. Well, the problem is when you have a Thierry Henry, you are fast and physical, so that's a double problem. And mostly, you know, when you play Ronaldo, the first Ronaldo, or Thierry Henry, or after some others that I played against, you say, well, it's impossible to stop them. So you have to try to get the ball before, but definitely for me, the fast one, because I played against Quinn, I played against Ferguson when they used to play for Sunderland or Everton. Mm. You still think that you have to a way to block them. But the fast one, I mean, you try some solutions, to try some stuff that you think that you can help you out, but it doesn't work. They're too strong.
Shaka, as a goalkeeper, when a player in your team scores, what celebration did you used to do? Did you pray it's your team or anything? Did you punch the air?
Nope.
Flip-flop?
Nope.
Nothing?
I just turned around and walked back into my goal.
Oh. Oh, Shaq.
Yes.
Never any emotion?
A couple of times I can remember celebrating, but I can't remember exactly what games those were. But
takes a lot of effort to celebrate for you, Shaq, right?
Oh, it's a long way to run, you know?
Yeah.
It's a long way back.
You want to save some energy.
When West Ham scored, FA Cup final?
Nope. Turn around and walk back.
Wow, Shaq.
I have a job to do, Dan.
Wow, you focused.
That's right.
You should read Frank's book.
Oh.
Maybe that's what I was missing.
No, you should collaborate with Frank for the next book.
Ah.
Focus.
Well,
that's always a word, though, Shaq, that Frank struggles with.
Don't say it, Frank.
This is interesting. How did your kids, Frank, react when you get recognised in public? Were they embarrassed or did they love it?
Well, my kids are 30 and 29, so they don't really live with me. But when they were younger, when I was still playing, They were upset with the fact that people were coming and asking me for some autographs. So down the street they were pulling my sleeve and say, Frank, Dad, can we go? Oh. They didn't like it. My daughter didn't like football.
Right.
My son was crazy about football, but still they wanted me for themselves. So they were kind of embarrassed than when I was asked for an autograph.
Mm. Did they say, for once, Daddy, change out of that France 98 kit?
Why are you carrying the World Cup with you?
Maybe. What about you, Shaq? What's it like when you go back to Trinidad and Tobago? I imagine it's...
My kids...
Did they mind it at all?
I don't know if they minded it. You know, that's just kind of par for the course, you know, and
they didn't know any different.
They've never known any different. I mean, weird thing is, well, not weird, but like we go to games now when they were younger, and they were so happy to meet other players, you know.
Right.
And,
yes.
And I'm like, hold on a minute. I used to play, you know. you're never appreciated me one day in your lives.
I'm excited.
And now all of a sudden you're all excited to meet somebody, some random Joe who played one game. Like, I used to play. So, but yeah, but you wouldn't have it any other way.
Nadim, how's your summer been? Because you've got, what, 3 kids under the age of 7? That must be fun.
Yeah, it's been fun, yeah. You know, the whole caravanning thing, just staycation thing, yeah. It's been interesting, yeah. I've been very, very busy. But, you know, you just got to believe the good days are ahead. I'll read Frank's book and I'll make something of myself in this new life.
Yes.
I'll make it happen.
We're all going to learn French, read Frank's book, and leave bad Amazon reviews.
Never give up, guys.
Never give up. We're all stuck here. We're stuck here forever. We're done. Shaka, I'm going to get you to read this last one because I've got no idea how to say any of those words.
Oh, yeah, we have. Yeah, you don't. Let's leave you all.
Oh, you have the ox oyster words or
the
what?
The Shaka prefer paratha, sada, or dalpuri. So there. Those are Trinidad foods,
okay.
As per your last faux pas.
Right, yes, that's the chicken
roost. Which I promise we won't mention ever again.
The chicken roost the moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Faux pas is a French word, by the way, faux pas. Faux pas is a French word.
I'm getting ready to read your book, Frank.
It's in my book.
Yeah. I'm practicing my
it's
French.
It's in my book. It's yes. In my book, page 12. Page 12, you have the faux pas.
Yeah.
On the page
anyone
12.
Who buys that book has made a faux pas,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's very nice.
But I will not give up.
Never give up, Frank.
I'm never going to give up until I learn French so I can read the book.
Right, let's get on with it.
Okay, right, where were we? Yeah,
you gave up on Spanish.
my Spanish is pretty good, you know.
Okay.
Right. Oh, right.
Right.
Larry. Sada is probably the outlier of the three. That's okay. Kind of, they're all breads, basically.
Oh, okay.
Different kinds of breads. Sada is more breakfast bread, kind of baked thing.
Isn't all bread baked?
Right. Okay, so in Trinidad, we refer to bake more as a kind of flat bread.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So right. Not that it was baked, but we call it a bake.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Right. Right. So that's sad, and you have that for breakfast.
Okay.
Paratha we use is a bread that we break up and you use to pick up foods.
Yes.
And then dalpuri is use peas to make another type of bread that we've heard me speak of roti.
Yes.
Which is the curry wrapped in the bread and you eat that.
Yes.
Almost burrito-esque.
Okay.
But it's a million times.
So which one of those three are you having?
Paratha.
Paratha?
Yes.
Perfect. That is it.
It is good. It is. It's good.
That's good. I'm glad something was good.
Look, Frank. Frank's trying to inspire himself.
Frank, if people want to get hold of your book, what do they have to do?
They say, be ambitious, but not ashamed of it. You know? No, they don't talk about the Shaka's food. They don't talk about Shaka's food.
I'm being nice. For one last, one moment, I'm being nice about your book. If people want to get it, how do they do it?
Well, it's in French, so right now, I'm sorry for English people. Right, if it's a success in France, I promise you it's going to be written in English as well.
Well, that's not happening.
But you know, no, it's really.
What about an audiobook, Frank?
It's not me explaining that I'm fantastic and great. Dan.
You read it, bring it out as an audiobook.
Oh.
Everybody's a winner.
There you go. Well.
How much Frank can you handle? How much Frank can you handle?
There you are.
Are we really winning?
No, you know what, Shaka? Shaka, I have a busy life. I have a busy life. So. I'm sure you can read it, you know, and we talk about it after.
There you
know,
are.
Can we get it in English, Frank? That's what we need.
That's what I'm saying.
You want it in English? Can we get it in English?
Maybe
if it's a
soon,
success in France.
Soon, but not for the three of you. It's only going to be for Nadim.
Oh wow!
But that's Frank can read it in English. Frank can translate on the spot.
This has been quite the extra time. Who's that?
I don't know.
That's saying Ali in that way.
Who's been talking to me?
Nadim? That's Nadim. That's he's saying Ali. That's his only French word.
Oh, I say
Ali.
I thought it was
Ali.
Ali.
Oh, God, don't do that again.
My God. I think we lost him. We lost him, guys. Right. We lost him.
That is it. We're done. Apparently, the producer wanted to show this to end it all.
Oh,
yeah.
No, 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 no
much. It's too much. It's too much passion behind that kiss.
Right. He closed his eyes and everything.
I can never unsee that. I apologize. We are
rated R&B.
ESPN FC will be back on your screens tomorrow.
Fantastic.
No way. Fantastic. No way.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.